right, let's get started. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. You guys alive and awake, yeah? Okay. I've been doing a series on the royal priesthood and its application for our lives today. I just believe this is important because if Jesus died for it, I want to, this is what he sacrificed his life for. It's worthy of my attention. It reads like this, it's Matthew 17. So actually this has been like a 3 or 4 week series now, so there's been a lot that we've covered. This is not as meaty as a message as the last time since we were going over Hebrews and Romans, but I hope this is starting to make some sense. Matthew 17, starting in verse 1, reads like this. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." Let's pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in our lives. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would impart to us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Help us to see you more and more clearly, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. And so, Father, I just pray as we behold your goodness and your love and your mercies, Lord God, that we would come to change how we see you, Father, and so reflect who you are. We love you, Lord God. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, I've been doing a series on the royal priesthood, and I'm going to do a little bit of a recap, but I can't... There's just been a lot of information, so we've got the recordings online for you. But I just believe that it's really important for us to understand what God has accomplished through the cross. And 2 weeks ago, I was what was the cross? What does the cross mean? Why did he die? And was it just that he was forgiving sin, or was it that he was ending the power of sin? And we looked at the different covenants. We're looking at the law of Moses and that covenant there. And then we look at the new covenant of Jesus Christ, the covenant of forgiveness. And but the thing is like, you can read through the scripture verses and totally miss its application for your life. Like, I don't want to just read through it and then just get on with my day. I want to understand how to apply it, right? Like, it's got to have some practicality to it. And this is the thing, too, with this. When you think of the cross, you're thinking of sacrifice, something that Jesus died for. If Jesus dies for something, if he was like, "This is worth my life," it's worthy of our focus then. I don't want to just breeze by it. You know, we're going to celebrate the resurrection in 2 weeks, right? And it can be like, for some people, it's just like, it's business as usual. It's, we've done this before. We celebrate this every year. It should have some meaning to it, especially if this is something that Jesus died for. Amen. It's worthy of my attention. Amen. And so, you know, Jesus comes and he releases this kingdom, and through his death that we get to be a part of. And you know, we're going over the Old Covenant, and in this, what we see is like on Exodus 19, just a little bit of a recap. Exodus 19, you see God's heart revealed. I want a kingdom of priests. But you only see the Levites becoming, out of all the tribes, the 12 tribes, you just see the Levites becoming the priests. And what you see is the people says, while God was still speaking, they came to Moses and said, "We don't want this. Like, Moses, you speak to us, and you can be the go-between, and we'll relate to God that way." And so the kingdom of priests that God wanted didn't happen because they had rejected it. You see this in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And it's not until the new covenant takes place and the old covenant is accomplished. Jesus on the cross, it's finished, it's accomplished. The law of Moses, it's done now. And we follow the law of love. It's a new covenant that we're under. You can't be under two at the same time. And so you see Peter, and he says, now we are a chosen race, a royal or kingly priesthood. And so what has always been the heart and intention of God to have a kingdom of priests has now been realized through the cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he creates a new covenant where now you all, we all, are a kingdom, a royal priesthood. And that we take it seriously because he died for this. And so the elements of the old covenant are still there. It's just that we have a king priest or a high priest, it's Jesus, and that we all are now the priests. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the living sacrifice. And with an additional element that was not seen in the previous covenant, we are now take on an identity as children of God. That this is meant to be part of the family. And so we see Jesus, and he starts this off when he kicks off his ministry, and he says, I want you to, Matthew 6:33, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. And he says, when you pray, I want you to pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Everything was about the kingdom. This is what he died for, to establish and to release in the earth and to incorporate us into it. And then all the stories that he told, all the parables, he would say, the kingdom of God is like. And then the once upon a time would begin, and he would tell a story to relate to us what this kingdom looked like. And then you would see the writer of Hebrews say that you've received this unshakable kingdom. When all the other kingdoms are shaking, this kingdom stands firm. And so this kingdom of priests is important to God. He preached it. He prayed it. He explained through stories. This is what it was all about for him. If he dies for this, I want to pay attention. And the kingdom of priests is important to God, and it's his vehicle through which he establishes, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We as the kingdom of priests bring and establish the kingdom of God here on earth to the world around us. Seek first this kingdom in which you are a priest. I want you to see yourself that way. Okay? And so this kingdom, it doesn't just start and end on a Sunday. It's not like, well, I gave my heart to Jesus, I came and attended church, I gave a little bit of my finances, and now I go home and I'm a part of God's kingdom. That's not how this works. Okay? We've lived in a world where the church has kind of taken a back seat in regards to actually leading society. May that die now. Amen. Okay? We need to be actually involved in what this is, and the direction the world takes. And it's the kingdom of priests that established it here. Okay? And so these four elements, there's these four roles that you take on in this priesthood. The priests, we carry and we exercise the authority of Christ in the earth today. Jesus, he strips Satan of all authority at the cross. And it says that now Jesus has all authority, and he says, and you have been filled with the head of all rule and all authority. And so we carry that, all right? And so, this is just a recap. And what you agree with in life is what you give authority to, because we still see the enemy in authority. He operates in the areas that people have given him his authority. That authority. And so it's through agreement. You want to agree with the lies of the enemy, you're going to authorize the enemy in your life. Okay? You can be captured by Satan to do his will. All right? We have the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. if you're going to agree with the identity of the enemy, if you think you're a loser, if you think all these nasty things about you, you're going to agree with the enemy, and you're authorizing that identity in your life. You want to agree with the promises of God. All his promises are yes and amen. You want to agree with it. Your identity now as a child of God, that you have his purpose as a priest. You want to agree with that. You are authorizing that authority in your life, that you'd see this more and more. Okay? Because we have a whole generation of children right now who are confused about their identity because they've agreed with a lie. All right? And here's the thing. So we carry this priesthood. It's let your kingdom come. We carry this authority. Where you have influence and where you have responsibility, you have authority. Pastor Phil has preached this for years, okay? And it starts with your family. Be a priest with your spouse. Be a priest with your children. Make sure you're demonstrating the love of Christ to your family, okay? And then we get involved because the world's trying to break apart the nuclear family. We're meant to keep it unified, okay? And so we carry this authority to the world around us, and it's so important that you see yourself this way. It's not just me. It's not just Pastor Phil as a priest. You all are priests. This is the kingdom of priests now. See yourself this way more and more because it provides you with purpose. The purpose will look different based on the giftings that you've been given, but you can still operate in the purposes, in the calling of a priest to the world around you. And something that needs to be understood is this, when it comes to the work of a priest, and this is the work of a priest, and this is a side point, but it's an important one. Being a priest is messy work because all of you are involved, all right? And people are messy, all right? If you got kids, you know how messy they are, all right? Dealing with people is messy work. And and you need to realize that, all right? Things are not picture perfect. Things don't always go according to plan. In fact, most of the time, they don't go according to plan. All right? And so, I heard this from another pastor who heard this from his professor, a Bible professor of his. And this is from Proverbs 14, verse 4. And it says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come from the strength of the ox." So if you don't have an ox in the stables, it's clean. There's nothing to muck out. But you don't get good crops if you don't have some manure, right? That's how this works, all right? And I want you to repeat after me. I want you to hear this. Ready? No mess.
No mess.
No ministry.
No ministry.
Okay? If you don't have a mess, you're not going to have a ministry. The reality of ministry is that it is always messy. If you see churches who post pictures of how well-dressed their pastor is or how nice their worship stage looked or like people greeting in the foyer, everyone's got problems. Amen. All right? It is. If that's what impresses you, it's shallow Christianity. All right? It's like when you take a Christmas picture of your family. You take a million shots to get that one that you think is going to impress people. Right? All right, and you don't see, she looked at me funny, and he poked me, and you pulled my hair. You never see that. But you know what? In the body of Christ, everyone does it, right? It's not picture perfect. There's nothing Instagram worthy here, all right? Okay? It's like, smile. All right. Who cares? If that's what you're impressed by wrong stuff. Working with people's messy. You have to have grace for people. Like, as much as it's up to you, as Scripture says, live at peace with people. If you're going to be a priest, it's messy work. Everyone's on this journey of faith. We're all at different points in this journey. And, you know, you just kind of have to have patience. People just don't get it right. No one's perfect, and that includes yourself. Okay? So just, like, calm down. Calm down. All right? All right. So you're a priest. You're involved in messy work. Number two, you're a sacrifice, and the thing is about it's a living sacrifice, right? Like it's going to cost you something. Like, people use this language, like what's my love language? And people dilute that word love to mean nothing. I love gum. Like, that's how you're going to use love, really? Right? The word love is sacrificial in nature. It means like while we're yet sinners, Christ dies for us. He gives of himself. When someone makes a sacrifice, Jesus dies for his kingdom. For his people, I'm going to take notice of that, okay? And when you want to show love to your family, to your children, to your spouse. May it come from a place where, like, it's you're sacrificing something of you. Sacrifice is a language of love all on its own. Okay? You're a son, which is you're a child of God in this kingdom of priests. You take on the identity as a child of God. So the priest gives you purpose. As a son, you have identity. Or a child of God, okay? So you aren't just a servant, you're family. We're a part of the family business. Amen? And this last part here, as I want to talk about, is you as a temple. And this is really, really important for us to understand and to grasp, because there's these four elements. I'm a priest, I'm a temple, I'm a sacrifice, I'm a son. I have to see this. If this is what Jesus died for, I have to see it and I have to understand its application for my life. I don't want to just blow by this. I don't want to just get on with life. I don't want to, I came to church. I'm part of God's kingdom. I want to operate in these four elements. Priest, temple, sacrifice, son. And it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? And when he says this, like, and you, he's speaking to a church. So the you's not in the singular, it's in the plural. He's speaking to everyone. You all are a temple of God's spirit who dwells in you. I understand that, okay? And there's something that's so important and so powerful when the church gathers together, the assembly, the ecclesia. We gather together to be filled with the Spirit of God. He dwells here with us. But I want you just to consider this verse in the singular, just for our purposes today, okay? This word temple, the word temple actually means to inhabit, okay? It says, do you not know that you are God's habitation? That you're meant to be filled with him. And so it's in the old covenant, God inhabited the temple or the tabernacle in the physical structure, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. In the new covenant, you become God's habitation. This understanding of the temple or to inhabit, it carries this idea that what you are and what you're designed to be is a vessel. You are basically a cup, a glorified, good-looking cup, all right? You're welcome. All right, so you're meant to be this vessel that contains God. You're meant to be this habitation of him. All right, do you guys have a space in your house where junk accumulates? Who has a space? Everyone's like, it's all over the place. You know, it's just like, you have a space in your house where junk just accumulates, right? Okay, we've got that as well, because I got four kids, so like there's just, you know, it can be everywhere. It's amazing how stuff will just fill up a space that doesn't have purpose, okay? If you're not intentional about what the space is for, it just gets filled with all the odds and ends of the household, all right? So Claire, she has in the past, she doesn't really do it much anymore, but unless she like, she'll tell us this, but she'll put a bowl on the counter. And if she doesn't tell us what the bowl is for, my kids and I, because I'm included in this, will just throw whatever into the bowl because she hasn't confirmed its purpose. So I just think, well, I can just throw stuff in there, right? It's now a garbage can, okay? So, but she'll be like, okay, this bowl is for decoration. Now we know it's got a purpose. I can't just throw stuff in there. This bowl is for salad. This bowl is for fruit, which I expect you to eat, right? And so now it has a purpose. Now it's positioned to be filled according to its purpose. You are a priest who should be positioned for that purpose. I don't want to just because because you can just blow by like, okay, there's this element that we're meant to be priests in this kingdom. I just go to church on a Sunday and that's it and I go about my day. You can go, you're not like, if you don't see your purpose and what your purpose is designed for, you can just kind of like position your life to be filled with whatever. You guys hearing me? Yeah. Like, yeah, growing up, we had what was called a junk drawer in our kitchen. There was one drawer in our kitchen that did not have a purpose. And you know, it eventually had a purpose, but its purpose was to accumulate junk. You guys have a junk drawer in your kitchen? Wow, everyone's got a junk drawer. Okay, it's just like an American thing to do. So, And so you could find anything in here, right? You'll pull it out. So it wasn't even like it was that deep. There would be ping pong balls. It was like Narnia. You pull it out, just kind of like endlessly went in there, right? And there could be calculators. There could be like things you lost, bobby pins, like all these different things that were in this junk drawer because it didn't have a purpose. And because it didn't have a purpose, it was just filled with whatever. But then that's the identity it takes on. It's the junk drawer because you take on the identity of whatever you're filled with. Right, like this cup, right? It's a vessel, right? It's a temple of water. It gets its identity from what's inside of it. If there was iced tea, it'd be a, what is this called? A bottle. It would be a bottle of iced tea, right? It gets its identity from what's inside of it. And so do you. You're in this world. You're not of this world. You're a son or child of God. But you got to see your purpose first. I'm a priest, and then I'm going to position my life because I'm meant to be filled with what I'm purposed for. So I want to be position my life to be filled with the Spirit of God, and then I take on the identity of what I've been filled with as a son. Does that make sense? But if you don't see your purpose as a priest, you're not going to position your life to be filled by God, and then you just filled with whatever. And then you take on that identity. And I think that the reason why people have a hard time understanding God's love for them, or they struggle to identify as a child of God, is because they've allowed themselves to be filled by whatever. Because you always take on the identity of what you're filled with. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by God are sons of God." Galatians 4, 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." If you aren't positioned to be filled by the Spirit of God, chances are you are going to have a hard time identifying as a child of God. That makes sense, okay? So if you don't see the importance of this kingdom that Jesus died for, This kingdom that he was willing to sacrifice his life, to lay it down. This is what he preached. This is what he taught. This is he told stories about. This is what he commanded us to seek first. This is what his life was all about. That you get to be and what he gets to fulfill his desire right from the very beginning. A kingdom of priests. That everyone would be relating to him. That his purposes and his kingdom would be established in the earth today. If you don't see your purpose that way, man, you're not going to position your life right to be filled with him. And then you're going to have trouble identifying is his family. You know, a temple is very much related to worship. A temple is what God inhabits. It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And here's just something about your design that needs to be understood. And there's no changing this. It's just God's design. And it's important to see God's design because when you don't see design, you don't use things according to their purposes. And when something isn't used according to their purpose, it's called abuse. There's a lot of people who don't see how they're designed, and their life just goes through abuse. Okay? Part of our design is this, is that you were created to worship something. And if you do not worship God, you will just end up worshiping something else. It's the same thing as your design as a temple because they kind of work hand in hand. There was worship that took place in the temple or in the tabernacle, right? A little bit different from the New Testament type of worship that takes place today, but worship nonetheless. And just as you'll worship something else if you don't worship God, it's the same thing with being a temple. If you're not filled with God, you'll end up being filled with something else. So you just have to recognize what your purpose is. And that's going to come forth differently for every single person based on the different giftings and passions that God has bestowed upon you. But the reality is that you are all a priest. You all are being given this authority to exercise it on the earth today. And so it's about positioning yourself rightly to be filled by God, to fulfill those purposes. And then what you're filled with, you become identified with. Okay? Psalms 115, 4 through 8 says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them." And you become like what you worship. You become like what you're filled with. And as a temple, which is part of your design, what will you on purpose, what will you intentionally position your life before to be filled by? It's a serious question to ask yourself. What will you on purpose position your life before to be filled by? I'm telling you, if you don't recognize the cross and what he did there, you're not going to see this kingdom of priests that his heart was for. You're not going to see your purpose there. And then you're not going to position yourself rightly to be filled by him. And then you're going to struggle to understand God's love for you because you can't identify with him. You guys good?
Yeah.
I want you to see your purpose as a priest, okay? And it starts with your family. Philippians 2:12 says this. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And there is quite a bit to this because he is quoting Jeremiah, and I think there's a bigger context there because it makes you feel kind of worried and fearful. It's basically like take this seriously. But this whole thing about working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you can't work out of your life what hasn't been first worked into your life. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So it's about your mouth will confirm what has been worked out, what was worked into you, okay? And so it's about what you're positioning your life before to be worked into you so things get worked out of you. And you need to take this seriously. What are you positioning your life before to be filled? You have a design as a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so, when you come to church, hopefully things are being worked into you right now, okay? This is what you're doing. You're sitting here right now. I'm spewing, you're receiving, right? Okay? I've got stuff that's being worked out of me currently right now as a priest. Pastor Phil's a priest. We get up here and we share. But you guys are priests as well in this kingdom. It's just this is our role that we carry here. But we're meant to experience, meant to be filled up here so you take it out there and actually make a difference. And so so you are in this position where you're receiving. Things that hopefully is being worked into you. And it doesn't have to be through the message. It can be through a worship time. It can be through the fellowship. Someone could say something. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can just highlight certain things. And it just works on people. God knows exactly what you need to hear. And in his timing, all things are beautiful. And it's amazing. Like, people will come to me after the message and be like, that was great. I love when you said this. And I'm like, I don't recall saying that. It's like the Holy Spirit will just bring things to people's, things to their attention. And so, like, that's why I've given up trying to change people. I'm hopeless at trying to change people. I can't change you, but I know the Holy Spirit can. And it's about opening a door to just allow people to kind of experience the Holy Spirit. That's why the worship team gets absolutely annoyed with me every Sunday, because I never know where we're going to go. We're going to be led by the Spirit of God. I have all these songs that get picked out. We'll choose, there could be like 7 or 8 songs. We'll play like 4, right? And which way are we going to go from here? Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, but we have to make room for the Holy Spirit to move, because I've given up trying to change people. Like, you can have a plan, but God's plan is just so much better. Amen. All right? And so, the thing is too, is like, we're not trying to impress people. Like, obviously, we want to do things with the spirit of excellence and everything like that, but, like, the work of a priest is messy business, all right? People are really messy. So, like, all right, man, you're all, like, quiet, all right? So it's just the nature of it. And so, like, I'm pouring right now, and you're, like, in this position to receive. I'm working. You're resting. You're working, too? You're trying to keep up? All right. But you can't keep pouring and pouring and pouring. You have to position yourself to receive, right? And that's why rest is really important. Like, after this, there's going to be a glorious nap. There's my bed, my pillow is waiting for me after this, okay? I experience a death and a resurrection every Sunday. I'm just like, I'm going to bed. But this is the thing. I want you to see yourselves. You're a priest. You're a temple. You're a sacrifice. You're a son. This is what Jesus died for, okay? And I have to position my life rightly. And hopefully this isn't the only time during the week that you position yourself to be filled by God. Please, don't allow this to be it. You know, we get like, what, a half hour with you? 45 minutes maybe? If the sermon goes really long, like it's going right now. So, I mean, don't allow this to be it. May this not be it, guys. May this not be the only time where you position yourself before God. That's why the kingdom of God is not about you coming in here, giving a little bit, raising your hands. Oh, I'm part of God's kingdom. And then you go off and you live your merry life. No, it's every day. This is a lifestyle thing. You know, our lives is just so inundated with information. Right? Like, I mean, there's fake information, there's trivial information, depressing information, exciting information, and I think that we are just far too plugged into the matrix. And I get it. Like, there's stuff that we got to know about. Like, believe me. I mean, how do you combat the enemy if you're not going to be aware of what's going on? So just hear me on that. But when, you know, people rest, they usually, like, pull out their phones, right? And then you're just, like, endlessly scrolling garbage. And I'm not saying, like, I do it too. I do. But, like there's so much information that we get filled with. I don't want to just be filled with this. Because now it's dictating, like, even affects my emotions and stuff. I'm just like, there's plenty to get angry and aggravated by. You know, and I have to position myself as a temple to be filled by God so I can operate as a priest and so I can identify as a son of God. If I'm just constantly just doing this, I'm missing out. Okay? And so, we run around and we busy ourselves with everything that we feel needs to get done right now. And I grew up in a house where, like, you know, if I wasn't working or fixing something, I was made to feel guilty, you know, and so I have this thing that I always have to overcome. Like, sometimes I have to look in the mirror and say, Sean, you can enjoy yourself, all right? Like, you don't have to constantly be working. And so there has to be time where you actually find to, like, rest and just receive from God. It has to be that. And so you pour out your lives on things that don't fill you, and then you're finding rest with all the wrong stuff. And like I said, it's fine to watch TV. I watch TV. It's just having the right balance. I don't want to get legalistic about this, okay? But, you know, another problem that we have in our culture is that people are often, and this really applies to this culture, okay? Because if you're from New York or you're from New Jersey, you probably speak too much, all right? You all talk way too much, all right? Okay, come on. I mean, are we just going to keep it real? Like, we talk. Most people are preparing to speak rather than positioning yourself to listen. All right? Stop talking. No, just kidding. So, like, you with me? Yeah. Like, I think people, like, they're constantly, like, thinking of what they're going to say rather just, yeah, you Italians. So, like, rather than just listen. Just shut up and listen. Right, I was actually thinking, like, I'm talking about being a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that sounds like so, you know, so nice. But I was thinking about titling this message like "Just Shut Up and Listen." You know, it's what we do. Even when we pray, when we pray to God, we're telling Him our problems, our desires, our needs, which He already knows. It's part of prayer, but, like, there's very little time devoted to listening, just like clearing your mind. Just sit down, shut up, and listen. You know, I'm 40 years old. I have never heard God speak in a loud, booming voice. I think I'd wet myself if I heard Him speak in a loud, booming voice. But, like, I've heard Him once audibly. It was once, though, in 40 years. I've heard Him plenty of times, though, in a still, small voice. But we busy ourselves. We get so inundated with all these things, and we position ourselves to be filled by this rather than Him. And so we're very busy. We're very distracted people who speak too much and listen far too little. And it's like the enemy knows how to keep us away from our purpose as a priest and away from our identity as a son by keeping us filled with whatever. And you become that junk drawer. Because you will get identified with whatever you're filled with. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Does this make sense? You know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, I read this right in the beginning. We get this crazy story of Jesus, and he appears in this glorified state, and Moses and Elijah appear, and Jesus had brought Peter, James, and John along with him to witness this. And I'm like, man, he shouldn't have chose Peter for this, right? And I've said a lot of bad things about Peter in my lifetime, and I know I'm going to have to meet him one day, and I'm nervous about that. But I think that if any of the disciples were like a New Yorker or from New Jersey, it would be Peter, because he doesn't shut up. Like, he just constantly putting his foot in his mouth, and like, I mean, he is the most relatable character out of all the disciples, because I'm from New Jersey as well. I know what this is like, Peter. Okay, I've got lots to say, but he is far more extroverted and opinionated than I am, and I love how bold this guy is. Like, he's just out there, and out of all the characters, he would fit the best here in the Northeast with us. He just would, right? And Peter, like, Peter sees what's going on. He sees Jesus, and like, he's shining, and then there's Moses, and he's shining, and so is Elijah, and it's just like, oh, now's my chance to shine. I mean, I don't know. Like, he's like, he's like he can't contain himself. I gotta say something. I gotta build stuff. I gotta busy myself doing something. And Jesus is like, that's not why you're here. You're just here to be a witness. Just watch this. Shut up. Sit down and watch this. Like, stop getting so busy. You don't need to build us things. I don't need you to build me a tent, right? I don't need you to like speak right now. You're just a witness. Just watch. That's it. Just sit down, shut up, and just experience this. And Peter can't help himself. I'm gonna build your tents. I'm gonna do this. Shut up and just sit down. You hearing me? A witness is not engaged in discussion. They're solely there to experience what's taking place. This is an important event. Moses is there. He represents the law. Elijah's there. He represents the prophets. Jesus came to fulfill the law of the prophets. They're having an amazing meeting. And Peter can't shut up. And like, have you ever had someone like in a conversation speak over you when you're talking? I hate that. Don't you ever do that to me. I do too. Because I'm from New Jersey. And like, and when someone like speaks over you, you know that what they're implying to you is you have nothing intelligent to say, right? Like, what you have to say is not important, but what I have to say is important. And so you're like competing over each other, and like, you're talking at different levels. Don't do that here either, okay? If I catch you, I'm going to call you out. So, but like, this is the one time in Scripture where we actually see God interrupt Peter and speak over him. And it says, he, Peter, was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, he was still speaking, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That was a total, Peter, you have nothing intelligent to say right now. Shut up, sit down, and listen to my boy. Okay? And so God cuts Peter off, and so because he has nothing worth contributing to this conversation. And the best thing that Peter could have done in that moment and in time is just shut up. Just sit down, be quiet, shut your mouth. Just be in his presence. Stop preparing something to say. Be a temple of the Holy Spirit, and just be there. You don't need everything going on around you. It's like we constantly need things to be happening. No, you don't. You're going to miss God. His name is the Word. He speaks. You just talk too much. Man, I love saying things like this to you. Okay. You know, the situation is really like, you ever go to the movie theater and like someone likes to talk during, Who likes to talk during the movies? I'm never watching a movie with you. I'll have like someone next to me like, what's going to happen? I'm like, I've never seen this before. Why don't you shut up and watch this movie and we'll find out what's going to happen together, right? What do you think is going to happen next? I'm going to hit you so hard. That's what's going to happen next. Like, just shut up. I don't know where this is going, all right? And if you keep interrupting me, I'm going to sit somewhere else. It's kind of like that. You know, there are times to speak and argue and wrestle with God. I've been so angry with him sometimes. I just want to rail at him sometimes. Just, you know, he's a big boy. He can handle himself. You know, there are times to petition God. There are times to be angry. There are times to wrestle. But, you know, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Like, you should listen a whole lot more than you, twice as much as you speak. Just shut up. You know, I want dialogue with God. The only time monologue is okay is when he's talking and you're shutting up. You know, I told my kids I was threatening them that I would tell this story, and I'm going to because they're not here. So, we're in the kitchen, and they're doing the dishes, right? Because I don't know how to cook. So that's the only thing I can do in the kitchen is wash dishes. So they're washing the dishes with me, all four of them, and it is so noisy. I mean, I can't even think it's so noisy. And I'm like, what is going on here? And it took me a moment, because Claire will, like, just tune out. Yeah, she does that mom thing. I don't know how she does it. I wish I had that superpower, too. Mom's just like, tune out. Like, there are four different conversations taking place, but they're not conversations. It's not like there are four dialogues taking place. There are four monologues taking place. Everyone's talking, and no one's listening. I'm like, I can't take this, and I have to cut every single one of them off. It's done, okay? You have nothing intelligent to say right now. No one's listening to anybody right now, okay? I really am a loving dad. I really am. I'm like, come on, please just shut up. Like, yes, I tell my kids to shut up, and I don't care what you think. I do it lovingly. I'm just saying, like, listen, you're all talking, and no one's listening. Like, if you're going to have a conversation. It's a two-way thing. We do the same thing with God, though. So we do all the talking and none of the listening. When really, when it comes to being a temple, you should be doing all the listening and letting him do the talking. We live in such a distracted world. We're such a busy people. Don't let this be the only time that you get filled up with God. Don't let this be the only time that you're being poured into by him. I don't know what he's actually saying to you or what is convicting you right now. I don't know what he does. That's the Holy Spirit's job to do that with you. But I mean, if we're going to operate as a priest, if this is what Jesus died for, if he died for this, I have to pay attention to this. If he gives his life for something, I need to pay attention to what he gives his life for. His heart was for a kingdom of priests. We get to run with that purpose. But man, if I don't position myself as a temple, I can't run with that purpose. I can't identify as a son. You be identified with whatever your life is filled with. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so here's some things. It's like, you know, through this week, like, just shut up and listen. Like, have your Bible ready. Like, sometimes, some things that I do sometimes, it's just like, I won't open it. I'll just ask the Holy Spirit to lead me to where he wants me to read from. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm not discouraged by that. Have a notebook ready. It's amazing what you can hear from God just by having, it works for me. All right, I know we're all different, but you know, take a walk in nature. I don't know what it might be. Just be quiet. Like learn to enjoy the silence. Pay attention to the pictures you get when you pray. God, just speak to me right now. Pastor feels very prophetic. Like, there's all these pictures that come forth. Like, it's just the Holy Spirit speaks in pictures. All right? Pay attention to the people he puts on your heart. Maybe all of a sudden you have, like, a flash of, like, you know, someone's beautiful face appears, and you need to give him a call and just say, hey, how you doing? He, you're supposed to operate as a priest, but you have to position yourself to be filled. You know, learning to just listen and unplug from the matrix can be like getting sober, because you are having to detox from what you are filled with in order to be refilled with the Spirit of God. And, you know, a temple is a habitation, right? But if you're already filled, that's why Jesus stands at the door of your hearts and he knocks. If you're already filled with just junk that you've positioned your life to be filled by, that's called a stronghold. Okay, a stronghold is designed to keep God out. A temple is designed to invite God in. Okay? And we all have different dimensions of strongholds in our lives that we need to detox from and allow God to fill those places so that all those other things get pushed out, that he would be, he has to have the increase. We have to be on the decrease. Okay? And you have to be patient. You have to approach humbly. God gives grace to the humble. He knows the proud from afar. Okay? And you can, we want to just have the worship team come on up, guys. But you get to a place, too, where you practice this not just in a setting where it's, where you're just by yourself. Like, learn to just be like, he's here. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, right? He's here. When you're at work, I'm a priest, right? I'm just going to position my life. I know we got things to do and you got to focus on stuff, but like just invite him into these moments where he's just with me. Just recognize him. Does that make sense, guys? Yeah. All right, I need to shut up now. So like, let's all stand, and I really do want to just pray over you.